Come from outside of Simishin Chavches that also have a shaykhis to the issue of dealing with sakhanis on Shabbos on the Kippur. One of the shaylas that's most difficult to come to a clear pesach about is the following question. We all know that in case of a sakhana to a human being, that when Machal Shabbos, when Machal on all the Tayag mitzvahs, except for the three cardinal averes that were Machal Shabbos and Hazar is Harizem Meshuvah, we rush to be Machal Shabbos for ourselves
to save somebody's life. The issue, the question is, what about
a situation where there is no human being that's in sakana, but there is a sakana for an uvar, there's a sakana for a fetus in the mother, a woman is pregnant, and whatever the situation is, on Shabbos there's a sakana, or on Yom Kippur there's a sakana, and in order to save the life of the uber, the person would have to be Michal Shabbos, would have to eat on Yom Kippur. But there's no sakana for the mother. But what is that often such a case? It happens to be that this year, we had such a shiloh with a person that was pregnant and was going through a very difficult pregnancy, and the doctor told him that the fasting on the F on these on the mother's fasting wouldn't be any sakana for the mother, but that it would be a sakana for the vlad, for the uber in her womb. The question is what Michal Shabbos, is what Michal Yom Kippur, or Elabi Avrani is a raisa for the hatsala of an ogre, the hatsala of a fetus in the mother's womb who is not yet born, who is not yet a nefesh in the normal sense. And the shaila does not appear in Simishin Chavches at all.
The main place where this discussion comes up is a Mishnah in the 8th Perek in Yuma. The Mishnah says, a muveres, shehirecha, a muveres on Yom Kippur smells food, and she has a strong taiva to eat. Machila naista, so you're allowed to give her to eat. The Gemara says that first we tell her Yom Kippur ayayim, and we see if it lets up. But if she appears to have, it doesn't mean she smells food and she's hungry, but it means that she goes into some type of showing a very strong desire for food, some type of a reaction to the smell of food, that we're allowed to give her to eat. And the question is, what is the Mishnah? The Mishnah says muveres. It doesn't say a regular woman or a regular man who smells food is allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. So apparently, under normal situations, for a normal Jewish adult, it's not considered to be a sakana just because you smell food to be able to eat on Yom Kippur. So why is the Mishnah chapon a case of a muveres, of a woman who's pregnant? So there are two ways to learn. You can learn, the Rosh brings two ways to learn.
Okay.
The Rosh says you can learn that pshat is that taka for an adult, it's not a sakana to smell food. But it's a sakana for the yogurt. It's a sakana for the baby inside. And that's why the Mishnah is telling us a chinish that even though it's not a sakana for the adult, it's a sakana just for the yogurt, that itself is mutter. Or you could learn, no, we're not talking about sakana for the yogurt. We're talking about sakana for the mother. Just a woman who's a muveres, her nature is different. Her nature, a muveres, is a more sensitive to having to eat. And for that reason, we do it for the hatsala of the muveres, not for the hatsala of the uvah. these are two ways to learn the Mishnah, and it's very not clear which way is the Yikr. The Shita of the Bahag, which is quoted by the Rosh, and the main sugya of this is in the Rosh, there in the Eferik in Yuma. He quotes the Bahag. He says that you're allowed to be Michal Shabbos and Yom Kippur Fatzolah Sober. That's the Shita of the Bahag. He touches up the Mishnah, as I told you. Yamuberes Sheherecha means it's a Sakana for the Yogur, and that a person is allowed to be Michal Shabbos for the Sakana Sober. The Rush brings down Ika the Sviralei, doesn't say who they are, Ika the Sviralei, that argue in Amachmir. And they say it's also to be Michal Shabbos for a Sakana Sablad. It's interesting, the Ramban, the Rush, and the Ran all bring down the Shita. But they don't say the name. They all say Ika the Sviralei. There's a Shita that holds. They don't say who the name of the Shita is. But there is a Deya that they bring down who holds that the that it's also to be Michal Shabbos and Yom Kippurim for the sake of the Ober. And because an Ober is not considered a Ben Kayama. Ober is not considered a living person. And there's no heter of a Chai Bohem. There's no heter of a Chai Bohem or a Shiyomus Bohem. That's our heter to be Michal Shabbos, that's also Mephashis. And for that reason, they hold, this Ika the Sviralei holds that you're not allowed to be Michal Shabbos Yom Kippur to save the life of the Ober.
If a lot is less than 30 days old, if a lot is born and it's less than 30 days old.
40. There's no number of 30.
If a lot is born.
If a lot is born, the Russian of Chazal is Afilu Ben Yaimai. Afilu Ober Ben Yaimai is Michal. So we have two sheets. The Bahad who says you Michal, and the others who say you're not. What?
Like an arm, like a
external
organ. Okay, good. Okay.
What's 40 before? What's that mean? It's
a separate issue. Now, for now, it's the issue of pregnancy within 40 days. The Gemara says a baby in the first 40 days of pregnancy has a din of, the Gemara uses the lashon mayo bahoma. It's like water. It's not halachically a child. That's why there is some discussion as to whether it's an issue to do an abortion in the first 40 days. But the Maisa that has no bearing on this machlokes, as you see. So we have two sheets. The Bahad, who says you're Michal Shabbos, and he says that you're allowed to be Michal Shabbos, and you can really hold your not. That is a third sheet. Not going to be a third sheet. So the Rush writes, and the Rush of the Rush, after he brings down these two sheets, has the Rush Machriya. So the Rush writes, Lo Yodati Matzarech L'Chalelu HaDikdukim. He brings us some Dikdukim, some Rayas, which we'll get to a few of them. He says, there's no such case where you'll have a sakana to the uber, which is not a sakana to the mother as well. A woman who's miscarrying is also a becheska sakana. It's up to Rosh. There's no need to pass in this machlaikis, the Bahag, and this Ika the Sviralei, the Bahag and the other Shita. Because any case of sakana to an ober is automatically a case of a sakana to a mu'beris as well. So for that reason, the Rosh says, and what comes out l'maisa from the Rosh? That there's no, that there is no issue of a, in halacha of whether you're passing like the Bahag or you don't pass like the Bahag. It's not a halachic issue because it doesn't matter. Now, the problem is that nowadays we do have situations which are sakana to an ober and not a sakana to the mother. We know cases where we're confident that it's a sakana to the child and not to the mother. So it's a little hard to know exactly how to deal with this halacha. The Rosh is paskening. But it's a little hard to know halacha l'maisa. Usually, someone is a shayla, so Rav says, look, sakana to the baby, we assume it's sakana to the mother, so you're allowed to be Michal Shabbos, allowed to be Yom Kippur. The problem is, what do you do in a situation where it's very clear that there is no danger, where there is no danger to the mother?
I mean, according to the Rush, once the mother goes into the state of Mapelis, right, at this point, you don't have a difference. You can have a sakana to the child without the mother. Once she becomes a Mapelis, though,
the question is whether she can eat to avoid becoming a Mapelis.
Yeah,
in such a case. Mapelis is a miscarrying.
Once she's miscarrying, she's losing blood, she's losing that. Is she, you know, Malcolm Sakana?
In such a case, it could be, but. But what, if that would be a cheska sakana, then even preventing it in the first place would also
I'm saying that's as far as the Rosh, maybe.
At any rate, these are the machlokes hashitas. there is a strong raya to each shita from what they discussed. Is really a certain amount of gilui to what the rayas are. The raya to the shita samakilim, to the shita of the bahag, is lechayra to mafurish mechaber shulchan aruch. It says the shulchan aruch that Shimon the Simshin Lamed, which is after Shachafes, but it says the shulchan aruch the following. It says if a woman is giving birth, dies in childbirth, later laying, a woman's giving birth, and she dies in the process of childbirth, so it says the Shulchan Aruch the following. It says, Hesheves al Amashver, and she dies. A woman who dies al Amashver dies on the birthing table. So, Bishabis, Mevi'in Sakin, Afilu Derech, Bishasarab, and Bishabis, Bekairin Nesbitna, Umaytiyin Nesavad. That in such a case, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to bring this woman who died, she's dead. And you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to bring tools in order to do surgery on this, who's now dead mother, in order to remove the baby. So Mechayr, it's a Befeirish Gemara Nerechin in Dav Zayin, or Befeirish Mechaber Shulchan Aruch, that you are allowed to be Mechal Shabbos just to save the life of an Uber. That it's mutter. So the Ramban says it's not a right. From the Ramban's parents, we see what this is telling us. So the Ramban, it's not a right. What? Oh, good. What's the whole svara that a baby is not a living person? Because uber yerechimai. We look at the baby as just being an aver of the mother. The baby is not an autonomous individual. It's not a living on his own. He's just a piece of the mother. So just like in that Machal Shabbos, to save an aver of the mother, in many cases, you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. We're going to learn when you're allowed to. So the baby is no more than an uber rierechimai, a part of the mother. And that's why the Machmirin hold that we're not Mechal Shabbos. However, in a case where the mother is dead, and the baby's still alive, the baby now is a viable human being on its own, or at least a specific of being alive. And if the baby is alive, then the baby is on its own now, it's its own person. So being that at this stage, the baby is its own person. So now, it's the Ramban, that's why we're Mechal Shabbos. Agav, we see from this Ramban that this whole issue is totally an Ube Yerechimai. If you hold Ube Lav Yerechimai, if you look at a baby as being a separate entity, Ube Lav Yerechimai, so then certainly you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, comes out from the Ramban. It's a Sufik and Allah Kawi Pask. But if you hold that over as Yerechimai, so then we have the Machlokes, the Bahag and the Yesh Machmir. There's an interesting Rabbi Kivega. It's one of those, like, for the books that you can't believe exist until you look it up. So Rabbi Kivega asks that if you hold that an over, I don't remember which way he says it. He says if you hold an over as Yerechimai, an over is part of the mother, so how is a man allowed to be boil his wife when she's pregnant? He's being boil his daughter. If you hold over Lavia Rechimai, the Dover is a separate person, I guess. So when you're being boil the mother, you're being boil your daughter. So he says that you're being boil. Good question.
You could argue more.
Now what do you say? So what's the answer? Now be boil your baby. So Rechimai was this, it's by Rechimai.
It's not a finished job.
Rabbi Kivega answers, you would think he answers, maybe not being by the daughter, right? It's just a lumpish of you. Right? But Rabbi Kivega answers that a girl is under 3 years old is not Roy Labia. What? Here's a case where lumpish you could. That's why he's saying if over Lav Yerechimai, so it's a separate person.
My person is Nifta.
Right, the Obi Yarshins.
Many functions continue after the person is nifter, even for days. Hair and nails continue growing for 3 or 4 days after the person is nifter. When the person is dead, his certain organs continue to function for whatever short period of time afterwards. So if a person wants to argue that the baby is not really a separate person while the mother's alive, but using this logic, if they're saying yes, the birth baby is not viable on its own. After the mother dies,
the baby is alive. If the baby's alive, then the baby's considered viable. The heart is beating, then the baby's considered viable.
How long is the baby?
So at any rate, this is a machlokes lavach. It's very hard to say a clear psak with Dina, because it's very strange that the Mechaber Shulchan Aruch does not paskin. The Mishavura doesn't paskin anywhere. This should be a very routine shayla. Should be a very basic shayla. What? Maisha, I'm not aware that Maisha has any tshuva on this topic anywhere. Now, most likely, why didn't the Shulchan Aruch paskin? So it would seem most likely the reason the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say psak is because the Torah does bring down. The Torah says in Hilchos Yom Kippurim, the Torah says that Ubra Shehirecha Machilin Aisa Davis Sakana La Oy Lo Ubra. His lashon is sakana to the mother or to the child. So Beis Yosef is medayik to Tahar or to the child. Why says the child alone? You're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for, or Mechal Yom Kippur for. Beis Yosef says he doesn't know why did the Torah have to say this. There's no nafkamina because we assume that any sakana to the child is automatically a sakana to the mother. Which means that the Beis Yosef took on the Rosh Hashika. The Rosh says that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save an Uber because we assume that any time there's a Sakana for the Uber, there's automatically a Sakana for the mother as well. So in the Mele, we understand why the Shulchan Aruch didn't paskin, because there's no Nafkamina in a Sakana for the Uber that's not a Sakana, because it's always considered to be a Sakana to the mother. But again, nowadays it's a difficult thing. There are many, I think this quote in Leid of Yehuda, many of the contemporary tshuvas that talk about saving an over, they quote in Leid of Yehuda Tinyana. In Leid of Yehuda Tinyana, there's a tshuva in which he says that Tinyana Tzchashimish Bat Nuntes, if somebody wants to look it up. There he says, he's talking, the tshuva is about abortions. The tshuva has to do with abortions. She says, Tzvarach, even though we're not Mechal Shabbos, we pass through we're not Mechal Shabbos to save the life of an over. Nevertheless, look, I'll be abortions, etc., right? We consider the baby to be a living person. So therefore, they quote this night of Yehuda as paskening that we're not Mechal Shabbos for the life of it, to save the life of an over. And this is the Lechayr, one of the only Achrayim that we have that paskens in this area. But the truth is, it's not so clear that he meant to paskin. So it could be the Rebbe Yehuda held like the Beis Yosef. The way I'm explaining to you, the Beis Yosef, why did he pass this? He said, any sakana for the baby is automatically a sakana to the mother. So therefore, if there's a sakana to the baby, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save the mother because it's automatic. The Rebbe Yehuda is probably minded to that. That a sakana to the baby is automatically to the mother and you're Mechal Shabbos. He's just saying in the longest of it, in the longest, because he's talking about abortions, he's not talking halacha l'maaseh hilchos Shabbos. Say, in the lumpness for a baby, maybe it wouldn't be Mechal Shabbos. It could be held in lumpness, we would. And therefore, he has to explain why we hold that abortions are so chamur. But in the halacha l'maaseh of it, he'd be minder that when you have a sakana to the ovary, you can automatically assume that it's a sakana to the mother as well. At least in those types of cases. At any rate, the halacha l'maaseh is a little difficult, but the sieve has an interesting thing. Let me explain to you. You have to know Bechlal. We're learning Simshin Chavches. Why are we Mechal Shabbos to save the life of a human being? What's the reason?
We need more Shabboses.
So the Gemara has a few reasons. Gemara has a few reasons. Gemara has, I think, four reasons in Yuma. The two main reasons are two different reasons. One reason is Vechai Bayam Alosh Yamas Bayam. That the Vechai Bayam is a Zeres HaKosim. You should live with the Torah. You're not Mechuyif to die to the Torah. And then the Gemara says, "V'shamru b'nei Yisrael Shabbos, chalel olof Shabbos achas b'shvil sheyishmer Shabbos itarbe. Should mechal one Shabbos, you can keep many Shabbos." So the Gemara says, "If you have the svara of chalel olof Shabbos achas b'shvil sheyishmer Shabbos itarbe, so why do I need a pasuk b'chai b'am b'lo shiyamis them? It's an extra pasuk. If the shvara is mechal one Shabbos, you should keep many more Shabbos." So what would you answer? Usually when people ask this question, they answer, what's the nafkamina? Let's say he won't live to the next week. Right? They only live for a day. So he won't live to the next week. So the meaning says it's not a kasha, because shchalel of Shabbos achas b'shul sheyish v'shabbos yitzhar beis lav dafka Shabbos. Any mitzvah. Even though he'll do tshuva maybe, he'll live another minute. He'll do tshuva, so chalel of Shabbos achas, so he should do other mitzvahs. But the Gemara says, why do I need to psuk him? Because if it would be for the reason of Chalel Shabbos Achas Shema Shabbos Itarbe, then I would say only a Vaday. You're only allowed to save somebody where it's a Vaday Sakana. Let's say someone is certainly in a Sakana. Let's say it's a Sufik Sakana. So now there's no Svara. Chalel Shabbos Achas. So you can keep the next Shabbos. No. This Shabbos is a Vaday. Being Mechal Shabbos the Vaday. There's only a Sufik, the next Shabbos will be around.
So misafik takana, the Gemara says, I couldn't be mechal Shabbos. So the Gemara says, that's why I need v'chai b'hem, v'loi shiyamas b'hem, to tell you that even for a safik takana, you're also allowed to be mechal Shabbos. So come down nafkamina, and this will come up in Shechafesta, nafkamina between the two reasons. The v'chai b'hem reason applies even for a safik takana, even for a vaita safik. Any type of safik takana, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos, because v'chai b'hem, v'loi shiyamas b'hem. But if we could have a reason, where a case where only the reason of Chalel of Shabbos Achas B'Shushia V'Yishma Shabbos Yitzharvei, that's the only reason that would apply, so then it seems in the Gemara that for Safis Takani could be Mechal Shabbos. Now, given this Hagdama, let me tell you what says in the Ran and Yuma. The Ran asks, is a baby, is a fetus considered to be a human being? The fetus in the mother's womb, is that considered a human being or not? He says, well, halacha, we know it's not. Because the halacha is that if a woman is in labor, and the mother is in sakana, so we kill the baby to save the mother. If a pregnancy endangers a mother, so we did there, the halacha is on shiloh, we do an abortion. Now we do an abortion to the baby to save the mother's life. That is less mandapali, it's very shemishni. So if the halach is we do an abortion to a baby in order to save the mother's life, that means we don't kill one person to save someone else. Our karkof, the baby, is not a full human being. It's not considered to be a complete human being. So frekteran, how could you hold the chimachal Shabbos in order to save the life of the child? But we see a baby, a fetus, is not a complete human being. We see a machal Shabbos, you kill the baby to save the mother. What? He's saying it's a terror. But the Ran doesn't say this. The Ran answers, if it's a Ran, inachinam, a baby, a fetus, is not a complete human being. But nevertheless, the Svara of Chalel of Shabbos Achas, B'shil Sheyish V'Shabbos Yitzharvei, still applies. Because Lamaisa, even though he's not a human being, but if you save the life of the fetus, he'll be able to keep many Shabbos later. So the Svara of Chalel of Shabbos Achas, B'shil Sheyish V'Shabbos Yitzharvei, that Svara still makes sense. Even if you hold the baby, it's not a complete baby. This is why even within 40 days of pregnancy, to save the life of this over, that would be permissible. Because he Chalel of Shabbos Achas, B'shil Sheyish V'Shabbos Yitzharvei. As I should take the Ran. Now the Netziv comes along with a tremendous kiddush. The Netziv says, 1 minute. I just told you over the Gemara. The Gemara says that you need a pasuk b'chai b'hem v'loi shiyamas b'hem. Why? Because if you would have only the svara of chalel of Shabbos achas b'shil sheyish v'shabbos yitzharvei, that would only apply to a vaday sakana and not to a safik sakana. And that's why I need a pasuk b'chai b'hem. But what's the Ran telling us? That by a baby in the mother's womb, really b'chai b'hem v'loi shiyamas b'hem does not apply. Because the baby is not v'chai b'hem, the baby is not alive, in the sense that a human being is alive. It's only because of the svara of chalel of Shabbos achas b'shil sheyish v'shabbos yitzharvei. So it's up to the Netziv, if so, for a safik sakana, you shouldn't be allowed to save the baby's life, you shouldn't be allowed to be v'chal Shabbos to save the baby's life. And the Netziv passes this way l'halacha. So it comes out, we have a fourth shita, really. Okay. You never know if the baby's ever going to be born. If the baby's ever going to be born in the first place. Mishnah, you could be Samech HaRaid. Mishnah, you could be Samech HaRaid, like all other areas of Halacha. Most babies do come there, are born. So at any rate, the Netziv is a tremendous city. So it comes out, we have like this. We have the Bahad Shita says Bimachal. We have the Ikad Esvira Lady, second Shita is Machmir. The Rosh is not the first side. Because he says any sakana to the baby is automatically a sakana to the mother. And now we have the Netziv comes along with sort of a pshara. Netziv is saying, for a vada, sakana to the Chal Shabbos. Or Yom Kippur, for a suffix sakana. Now as a matter of halacha l'maisa, it's a little hard to accept the Netziv. It makes a lot of sense in Cheshbon. And we'll see, he makes the Cheshbon have in Shechafet, the case, another case, where only the Sfarash of Chalal of Shabbos Achaz, B'shish M'shbos Yisharbi applies. It's a lot of sense, but halacha l'maisa, it's a very big chiddush. Because we don't find one place in halacha where we're mechalek between a vada sakana and a safek sakana. So it's a tremendous chiddush To say l'maisa, and the tzitz Eliezer has a tshuva, and he paskens not like the tzitz. He says he can mechal Shabbos to any yobar at all, even in a case where it's not apparently a sakana for the mother. So, as a matter of halacha l'maisa, it's a little difficult, but it is at least a tziruf in what comes up to me every single Erev Yom Kippur. It happens to me every year before Yom Kippur and before Tisha B'Av. That there are people whose wives are pregnant in shul or yeshiva, and they call me up. They say the doctor said it's a sakana to fast. It's a sakana for the mother to fast. A sakana for the mother's life. No doctor is going to say that. But it's a sakana for the baby if the mother fasts. So the truth is that the doctors are not telling the truth. Doctors are lying. Now, why in the world would a doctor lie? The doctor has two reasons. First of all, the doctors feel they're doing a very big favor for this woman. Because after all, never, this woman has to fast. And they are aware that in Jewish law, if the doctor says it's a sakana, they could eat. So they figure they might as well do them a favor. And tell them it's a sakana, you know, it's like, you know, you write out, doctors do it all the time. They write out, you know, they charge a little more, so you don't have to pay the co-payment or whatever it is, right? They take off the deductible. So they're doing favors all the time to their patients, as long as it doesn't cost them anything. So here also, they feel that they'll do a favor to the person. The other reason is there's really a lot of medicine today is defensive medicine. The doctors are afraid of being sued because there are many frivolous lawsuits going on. The doctors are afraid of being sued. So therefore, doctors, anything which might, in the further stretch of the imagination, be a problem, so they say stay away from it. Because it's a problem. Doctors today prescribe tests much more than is needed. If it wouldn't be for the fact they're afraid of being sued, they wouldn't do it as much. But they're doing it all the time. I had a maisa this before Yom Kippur. Someone here in the shul was going through a very difficult pregnancy. Was in bed for a few weeks. So they called me up the night before. The doctor said that if she fasts, it's going to cause brain damage to the baby. Brain damage to the baby? Okay, very serious thing. And this is a young couple, first pregnancy, first baby. They're very frightened. So I asked him to give me the doctor's phone number. I mean, this was a very strange type of pregnancy. This woman was in labor already for 2 months before our due date, on and off. So I called the doctor. I spoke to the doctor. I asked the doctor, is there anything different about this particular pregnancy than any other pregnant women? Is this something you say about all pregnant women? It's not all pregnant women. If they're going to fast the whole day, they're going to cause brain damage to the kids. I told them, I have 8 kids. My wife fasted Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av in our pregnancies, and it doesn't appear that any of our children are brain damaged, Baruch Hashem. And I told him, you have a whole community of people that fast Yom Kippur, so what are you basing it on? So he was right away in a defensive posture. So he told me, wait, there are studies that show, he told me a fancy name of a disease, that women who do severe dieting during pregnancy cause brain damage to the child. I thought severe dieting for one day, but severe dieting, the studies are on people who did it long term. So he was masking to me, he said, look, I have to tell, that's what he told me, I mean, obviously, so I have to tell them that, and you tell them what to do the mice. And this doctor, I'm very impressed by him, because afterwards, he told them that I was right. He told the couple, usually when a doctor, we're off on a doctor and disagrees. No, he did it for defensive reasons. He did it again. He said, I have to tell my patients. That's what he told me. I have to tell them that. Now, there is a study which shows, and as a matter of fact, I had it here in shul. I must have brought it downstairs. That shows that women who fast for 24 hours tend to go into labor. Something which induces labor. And the study was done in the Frum neighborhoods in Yerushalayim. And statistically, there's a 300% increase in births in the 2 days after Yom Kippur in Shari Tzedek Hospital. The other hospitals that deal with the Frum population, there is a 300,000, there's a 3 times as many births in the next 48 hours as in any typical day, just according to this survey. Now that would be a cause of alarm. Many people speak to me about the fact that the doctor said that if you're fasting, they're going to labor, which is not so bad if you're in the 9th month. But you have a woman who's in the 6th month, and they're terrified of going into labor prematurely, or even in the 8th month.
In that study, are they showing that women in the 6 month?
The study shows it does not cause premature labor. They're all, the increase is all in term babies, people who are fully born, which lends one to believe that it's not caused by fasting, but by the intense prayer of the mother on Yom Kippur. at any rate, it does bring on, it's true that it brings on labor. It apparently is true that fasting brings on labor, but it's neither true that it causes brain damage, nor is it true that it causes premature. And I'm always in a very awkward position because a Rav is supposed to say, when it comes to sakana, yes, the doctor, sakana, you do it. But this is one area which is very clear that, and unless there's an exceptional case, I'm not saying there can't be cases that are different, but when it's not an exceptional case, it's clear that the doctors are not. Not being 100% straightforward. This doctor's not a from person. I don't think that's Jewish either. His name is Schweitzer, but I don't think he's Jewish. At any rate, the reason I don't think he's Jewish is because after what he said, the rabbi was right. So, the thing is that now the reason I mention this is that you always bear in mind the fact that there is a day that for a suffix sakana you're not machal Shabbos Yom Kippur. I wouldn't pass it that way, but it's a tzirah in such a case where it's certainly at most a very distant sakana suffix of the entire area. Okay, so basically, what comes out of halacha l'maaseh, the status of an ubur is an interesting shaila in halacha. Is an ubur a human being or isn't it a human being? But it seems to have no relevance to the case of Sakana, because the Svara of Halel of Shabbos Achas B'shushi Yishma Shabbos Yitharbe applies. Halacha L'maisa, it's very hard to say, but L'maisa we would tell somebody to be Mechal Shabbos for an Uber. And the reason is because L'maisa, the Rosh does say that any Sakana for an Uber is a Sakana for the mother. So unless we have clear evidence differently, in which case anyway we'd probably pass in the Shabbos Sakana. The Fashas would anyway probably pass in like the Mekilim, like the Bahag. But it's not so clear. It's so strange that the Mishnah Berurah doesn't have a psak, the Shulchan doesn't have a psak. It's very unclear how we would paskin. In other words, strictly speaking, we only have to paskin as an uber, of the Chal Shabbos for an uber on that. It would be a very difficult child to be able to say halacha l'maaseh. But being that we have the Rosh's estimation that any sakana for an uber is a sakana for the Mu'beris as well, so this gives us a way to paskin l'maaseh. If somebody does call with a sakana for an uber, to assume that a sakana for an uber is a sakana for the Mu'beres, and that for that reason a person could be Mechal Shabbos. It's interesting, the Peiros Yosef in back of the Masechtas Yuma, it's one of the short notes, has a very interesting kasha on the Rosh. The Rosh said that we don't have to pass them in the Machlaikis, the Bahag and the Machmirim. Why? Because what's the difference? It's always a sakana for the mother anyway. So he asks an interesting question. He says there are certain yidden that were not machal Shabbos to save. The halacha is there are certain yidden who fall in that category of mylin v'lay maybe. Certain yidden who, because of their actions, we don't not machal Shabbos to save their lives. And this does not apply to a tenishin ishba, which means that today to most people it does not apply. But certainly somebody is a chayti umachti, somebody who causes other people to sin. You have a person who's a member of Jews for J, right? So you're not going to go, you know, be able to chal Shabbos to save his life. Because if somebody's a machti others, you don't save his life. So a Peiros Yosef has a kasha, there's still enough gemina. The Rosh says, who cares if you're chal Shabbos for an Uber or not? Every chal Shabbos for an Uber, every sakana and Uber is sakana for the Mu'beris. So he thought up a case where for the mother's sakana, we wouldn't be chal Shabbos. If the mother is one of these chayti or machti people, for her, we wouldn't be chal Shabbos. Because she's pregnant for a child, not a child's fault, then that she's the mother's mother, right? So for the mother, we wouldn't be. Now it's an afternoon of a Mechal Shabbos for the Uber and a Chalitz with Kasha on the Rosh that you can have such an echetint.
Is it true that today, since almost anybody, even a Goy, the serious consequences?
That's a separate issue. We're going to get to this in Shin Chav Ches. Very hard shadow, which all that solo guys really have a hard time with. And even a doctor is walking down the street, and there's a Goy who's in Sakana. And now there's a Suffolk Yid, Suffolk guy, even if it's just a small chance percentage, it's a Jew on the Chal Shabbos. In most cases, I should say. But I say, you know, for sure it's a guy. And the question is, is a Yid allowed to be the Chal Shabbos for a guy when I'm Lachad Eraisa? So we're gonna have to get to that. It's not a very clear. Now, Lachad Eraisa is a bit unclear. certainly a doctor who's incognito is just walking down the street and there's an accident and it's guy.
Isn't that a doctor? You want to make a phone call. The guy's bleeding. Call the hospital. Whatever it is. Something. You got to call, you know.
Not a doctor.
It's my car. It's my car driving me.
So any case, you know. So, it's something we're going to have to get to as we get into Shekhov Chas. Now, one other issue, so this is one issue again, which comes really as more of a shaykes to Tapra Shizai and not to Shekofet. This is one issue. Another issue which comes up very often is the question of somebody has to go to a doctor on Shabbos. And we're going to get into it in Shekofet when you're allowed to go to the doctor. It's not only cases of Sakana, it could be cases of not Sakana, where a person's going to go to a doctor for whatever reason, to make sure, to play it safe, to the case where it doesn't necessarily require a chilul Shabbos. The person wants to go to a doctor. Now, the question is, are you allowed to go to a doctor where you're going to cause that doctor to do chilul Shabbos beyond what halacha permits? In other words, you're going to go to a doctor. Now, this question obviously could be by a guy or by a yid. You go to a doctor, and let's say a person has a child, has a bad earache. So you know a doctor, you can walk over to the doctor, to look in his ear, and I'll give him antibiotics. You want to start on antibiotics right away. So you want to go on Shabbos. So now, if you have a frum doctor next door, you walk into him, he takes a look at the child, and he gives you some antibiotics. There's no shaila. I mean, what's the question? The kid has fever, and it's not a sarcoma type of fever. So you go over to the doctor, there's no shaila that you're allowed to do that. The question is, as long as you go to a doctor, the doctor now is going to do chilul Shabbos. The doctor is going to do chilul Shabbos. Nothing, they'll write, they'll fill out the forms, they'll do writing. They'll write. Is it mutter to go to a doctor for all these things? Let's say they do certain procedures. A person goes to a doctor, and the doctor tells him he goes to the emergency room. In the emergency room, the doctor checks him and says everything's fine, but let's do some lab tests, let's do some X-rays, etc. It's not a sakana. So what do you do now? Are you permitted to go ahead or not permitted to go ahead with what has been recommended? And this shaila has two cases. Obviously, you can go to three types of doctors. You can go to a guy, a frumi yid, or a frumi yid. Now, a frumi yid, presumably, if it's not a sakana, is not going to tell you to be mechal Shabbos. So really, the shaila comes up with a guy or with a frumi yid, whether this is mutter or it's not mutter. So Rav Heinemann once told me that he holds that with a goyish doctor, you're allowed to, not the yitzhak do malacha, but the guy, you can let him do any test they want. And the reason is the following question. The halacha is a guy is not allowed to do malacha for a yid on Shabbos. We know that, unless there's certain cases with mutter. But in general, a guy is not allowed to do, or certainly not malacha deraisa for a Jew. Now, if the guy does it, adaita v'nashe, the guy does it for his good, so then the guy does it for his own sake, then that is permissible. Now, it's not cool the guy doing it for his own sake if you hire him, if you pay him. So he says, does it for his own sake, he wants to be paid. No, he's working for you and you're paying him. Let's say the guy does it because he'll have a benefit from it, right? You have the case where you want the lights on and you call the guy in, you tell him, you invite him in for dessert. So he comes in, he turns on the light. So that, the guy is turning it on for his own sake. And there lecha, there lecha, once he turns it on, everyone can benefit. That's permissible. Right, you had the old case of the guy who invited a guy into his kitchen to offer him a chocolate bar. So the guy came in, turned on the light, took the chocolate bar, and went, yeah, he shut the light, you know, mm-hmm. to, just like he turned it on. But a guy does things that I did not say, he's mutter. I should mention Agav. I had, there's a yid in the neighborhood, I don't know his name, I would call him up. He owns an insurance business on East 19th Street, between Avenue P and Coney and King's Highway. Anybody know who he is? Economy Insurance. So he once called me about being open on Shabbos. This guy should work, because I thought he couldn't be open on Shabbos. But he says, is there any way he could do it? I told him, if you have a Goyish worker, and he says he gets phone calls. I said, if you have a guy who's answering the phone, and he gets paid a commission for each thing he brings in, he gets paid by the day, he can't work for you. But if he gets paid per customer, and that's his customer for always, so he can answer your phone, there's no problem. So, and I told him specifically many times that he couldn't leave his gates up, his door shouldn't appear to be open. And he called me different times, different shaylas, and I walked by on Yom Tov, and his gates were up, his gates were open. I don't know exactly who, if he called somebody else and got an answer, but if he's telling people I told him, I certainly didn't tell him that. The guy who does things like Daita Dinashe, you don't even know whose business that is.
I would call him up. I don't know.
Because one of the times he called me, he told me, you know, you gave me the hat the last time, now, you know, a second shiloh. I explained to him, I never gave him the first heter that he was telling me. Like, people hear what they want. I don't think he does it deliberately.
The third heter, you'll...
All right, I don't know. All right, anyway. At any rate, a guy does things that Daita Dinashe is mutter. If he's doing it for his own sake, it's mutter. So if I know who's being specifically, the common case, the person runs to an emergency room. Right, he thinks this kid might have appendicitis. And the doctor examines the kid, says, no, it's just a bellyache. All right, so you go home, right? Or a fracture. Person goes into the thing and there's a fracture of the arm. The doctor tests the arm, it's a fracture. There's sakana to wait for the Shabbos, not sakana to wait for the Shabbos. So now what do you do? It's not sakana, you let the guy do the Chal Shabbos for you, Pashtus you can, especially as the Shabbos is soon derises. The Feynman holds that because of the tremendous amount of malpractice suits going on, and the fact that doctors Lamaisa are practicing defensive medicine means that much of the medicine that's not derogatory in the sense the doctor is not, I'm not saying the doctor is not looking out what's best for the patient. The doctor is looking for what's best for the patient, but he has to bear in mind that he might be sued. So let's say if the patient comes in and there's a 5% chance of a certain sarcoma. So the doctor, normally the doctor, let's say it will be not a 5%, maybe a 1%. So normally, let's say the doctor would say, don't worry about it, wait a day, see what happens. But because he's afraid of being sued, the doctor will say, no, go take a blood test and see it. So, you know, it's a slight chance, but go take a blood test. And where normally the chances are so minute that he wouldn't do it, but here he's doing it for his own defensive reasons. So that, Rav Hanuman says, is called a Daita Dinashe. He's doing it for his own sake. He doesn't want to be sued. If a doctor has a child with a broken arm and he lets him out of the hospital without setting the bone, so the doctor's opening himself to lawsuits. So he kind of is in such a case that being that that would fall under the category of a Daita Dinashe. That the doctor's doing it for his own sake. And for that reason, it would be mutter to allow, once you're at the doctor, not to go to the doctor in the first place, you know, have to do a full Shabbos, that's not mutter. In other words, he tells you the arm's broken, go to a different doctor. And they tell you clearly it's not sakana to wait for the Shabbos, which most broken arms are not. So then there's no problem, a person can wait. I'd rather have once an incident in the bungalow colony. A child fell off a banister. So I was in the middle of getting a shiur Shabbos afternoon. So they ran in with the child, and his arm looked to be hurt. The child was a broken bone. So this is exactly what happened. The father came running in, can we drive to the hospital? So I told them, is the child in shock? Or is he? He said, no, he's not in shock. His car is wailing very loudly, exactly the way a kid's when he breaks his arm. I asked him, is it swollen? Is it bleeding? He said, no, it's just his arm appears to be broken. So I told him he should wait till after Shabbos. So we had a Tzolla guy in the thing. He says, no. A Tzolla guy came in afterwards. He says, no. Broken bones are sakana. You have to go to the hospital. I told him, you have to listen to him. He's the bulky in these things. So they took him to the hospital. The Maizu Shahaya. Okay, I think it happened to somebody who's in Taravadasna. I think it was Yitzchadina. I think it was his son. They went to the hospital, to Harris Hospital. They got to the hospital. Now, he wouldn't let the person, the intern, who was there on a weekend do anything to the arm. So they called up a doctor. So he said, the doctor on the phone, he asked, is there internal bleeding? He said, no. Is the kid looking shocked? No. He said, okay, I'm busy now, I'm going to come in a few hours. And he didn't show up till after Shabbos anyway. The doctor didn't show up, the kid just sat in the emergency room waiting for after Shabbos. Now, that doesn't necessarily prove anything, but it does show you just that stam, a broken arm, is not a sakana. If the kid's under good medical care, you have to be mechal Shabbos to set the arm. It's not...
You pick up a golf game for that.
Well, actually, yeah. Now, the issue is this. The question is, can you let him... So to go in the first place to a doctor after Michal Shabbos, I don't think there's a head. But if you took the child in to be checked, because you were afraid of whatever it might be, and once you're under the doctor's care, and it's a guy, now a yid, you can't allow him to practice defensive medicine on you, and be Michal Shabbos. But for a guy, this is Rav Heinemann's holds it, this is something which is mutter.
Because once you call it's all the time.
You call it all because you have no idea what it is. I don't blame people. I don't mean to belittle Sveikis. With their Sveikis, you're Michal. But you know, a broken bone can break an artery. Stitches. We're going to get into stitches. Stitches not so fast. We're going to have to get into. Yeah.
when I called the fellow ambulance for the child mocking birth, then before the family came, the mother gave birth in the house.
A mother within 72 hours of childbirth is b'chesda sakana. And anything that can be done for physical comfort, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos, you're allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. Within 72 hours, you don't even ask the mother. And we're allowed to be mechal. It's interesting because today we see women, they throw them out of the house. I once heard a very interesting thing from Ruth Dovid
Cohen. They get back in the bathroom and they walk out, walk away.
Yeah. What? You can transport to the house in mechal Shabbos within 72 hours of birth, it's b'chesda sakana. I once heard from David Cohn, he said that all the curses of the original chayt of Parshas Bereishis, they wear out as you get closer to Zman Mashiach. Right? Because B'mayis Mashiach, those curses wouldn't apply. He said that's why, that the earth doesn't give out. Nowadays, the earth gives out in abundance, much more easily. And one of the things he mentioned was labor, that labor is much more easy today for women. And it was interesting to me after I heard this. I was walking, it was maybe 50 degrees outside, and I happened to walk down the avenue, there was a car with teenagers, and they were stripped to their waist, and they were like, it's the way they go. I was thinking, man, even that was from the original chayt, right, that's when people get dressed. I thought, that's also wearing off, right? Yeah. Yes? What?
Now, there are cases where you're not misopic. But there are cases where you are misopic. If you call a doctor with a child who has a high fever, they're going to tell you you have to go to the hospital, right? But it's not, you're going to have to do it because you're not a doctor. You can't second guess a bucky. The doctor says, Sakana, you have to go. The fact is that in many cases, it's takanah, but what are you going to do? I mean, I had a situation, someone beat me on Chomayim, a 911 beep. I call him up. So the doctor said his wife is overdue. He said we have to induce labor. They have to induce on Monday. That's tomorrow. They have to induce on Monday, and therefore she has to come in Friday for stress tests, whatever type of tests, on Yontif. It's in Manhattan Hospital. I told him if they're going to have to do that, you have to take a hotel room and stay in Manhattan. You can't drive. And I said if it has to be Monday, it can't be Tuesday. He says no. The doctor said Tuesday is going to be a sakana to the child, and to do it last week on Wednesday is not safe for the mother. Only Monday. That's the only day that's safe for the child. Now, who in their right mind believes that this is the only Monday, is the only time that's good for the child? Many of us who are naive would think that the doctor has a busy weekend. He doesn't want to, he doesn't want to have an open weekend. So Monday works out for him. But he says Tuesday, and he explained to me that the child might be blinded by it if they wait till Tuesday with details of what it could happen, if it stays one more day. And the details are not pie in the sky. They come based on something. But Dafka Monday, not Tuesday. I told him, call the doctor back. Tell him you'll do it. But explain to him, it's inconvenient for you. It'll have to be Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. You'll have to be in Manhattan away. It's inconvenient for you, but if it's necessary, you're willing to do it. Right, the safe offer is they induced on Wednesday at the end. For whatever reason, I'm not saying this is what I told him. But what I'm saying is very often doctors are, I have Bimachal, we have a doctor here, but very often they play a little bit with what they're saying. But halacha l'maisa, though, you have to go by what the doctor tells you. The doctor tells you something, you have to go by it, unless you know for certain. But it's very hard to know for certain if you're not a doctor. The questions of what a guy could do for you are easy. If you take Rav Heinemann's psak, a little easier. The question of a fryer yid is a little more difficult. You go to a fryer yid, and he's going to be Michal Shabbos for you, it's a little bit of a greater problem. Now, once it's a sakana, a suffix sakana, it's no shyly. You go to the best doctor you think, even if he's a fryer yid. But otherwise, it's a big problem. You want to go to a fryer yid. Your child's in a lot of pain. You want to go and get, or an adult is in pain, you want to get painkillers even. And you go, and you know that this doctor is going to write out a prescription. He doesn't have to. Can give you a few samples that'll last you till after Shabbos, so you can have a guy bring it for a chayla. One of the klal gadol, the biggest klal we're going to learn, is that a guy is allowed to do any malacha for any chayla. Forget about yesh by sakana. Even a chayla she'ain by sakana, but a real chayla, a guy could do anything for a chayla. Any type of malacha is mutter for a chayla. That's one of the biggest klalim you can get out of shinchat ches. So for a guy to bring medicine is mutter. You're going to go to this doctor and he's a fryer and he's going to write a prescription for you. it makes for a serious problem now of lifnei iver. For your pain, you're going to go and cause the doctor to be able to lifnei iver. Now, is that lifnei iver? Is that misayaya? It's very hard to say exactly halacha l'maaseh. Is that called lifnei iver? Is that called misayaya? The doctor doesn't have to write it. It's a difficult question. So, okay, maybe we'll get into it a little more as we get into Shechof. That's what to do with the prior doctor. It's a very difficult child. All right, but at any rate, next week I'm going to start Shechof Ches, just to chazer over the few klolim that I mentioned to you. Is again, the Shiloh of an Uber, which is an interesting Shiloh. And the bottom line tends to be the rush, that any sakana for an Uber is a sakana for the mother. The other klal is this issue of going with doctors, the heter of Adaita the Nasher. If Heinemann's heter is a Gavaldiga heter, I wonder if everyone's masking to it. But for me, it's a good... most cases are tzveikis. And when you have this heter of Adaita the Nasher, it's an important heter. And maybe the most important thing for you to remember from today, which we will get to in Shulchan Aruch, is this klal, that a guy is allowed to do any malacha at all. He's not allowed to cook in your house. If you have a bona fide chayla, people who have a chayla, no sakana at all, but somebody has a chayla who's really sick, who's in bed, sick, a guy can do any malacha. And that doesn't mean you can send him out to buy the New York Times because the chayla wants it. But it means for the physical comfort or the achila shtia of the doctor, of the chayla, that is something.
In the hospital, that's where they cook.
Yitzhak, next week we'll start inside to Mishnah Chavka.
In the hospital, that's where they cook on Shabbos for the chayla in the hospital.
Said that really this should have been not, why does this taka not come after the Shabbalah this guy? Why doesn't it start with the Shabbalah this guy? Why do we have all these halachas?
This is here because in the order of the Torah of the Shulchan Aruch it follows Hilchas Prismila. Right, it's very similar to Hilchas Prismila. So here we jump right into Prismila, and then we already go into all the dinei geiros. And the same thing Avadim. You look in Hilchas Avadim, which has something like 84-85 sifim. So the first sif also starts with the Mila of Avin. That's how it comes in. So it is a bit out of order. The Ramah, Tavah, Tzifalav, Tavah, Kaidim, Shamol. What's the halacha if you mess up the order? If you do Tefillah first and Mila second, Mayil, it helps. The B'diyevet have a Tefillah. This is the Ramban Shita, that the order is not Ma'akiv in Bris Mila. You can do Mila, even though we do Mila first, Tefillah second. That's why no one is ever a ger the same day. Because we're malah him and we wait for it to heal before he goes into the mikvah. So that's the proper order. The Ramban Shita is the order is not ma'akiv. The Yeshayimrim, the loy have a tefillah. And he brings a chayokim. That Yeshayimrim, that it's not a good tefillah. So how do we do lemaisa? So the shachrai, since they're cut in days, hilkach yesh l'kayim v'litva l'achashamol. Okay, kosev ha'terasov, the lavush paskins. Alright, it's not so bad. You don't have to do a mila a second time, you got to do a tefillah a second time. So, no, you wouldn't make a bracha. It's a saf, it could be passed in like the Rambam.
So you make the bracha by the mila, right? And then he's tabled 3-4 days later?
When he's you make a bracha on the mila, and then you make a bracha on the tefillah also.
Separate
bracha, right.
What's the bracha on the mila?
Bracha on the mila. I don't know, maybe we'll see. I don't think it's brought down here. Oh, it is brought down. Reish Samoch. There's a siman on brachas. I don't know if it's Tfilas Ger, Milas Ger. I don't know the Russian. I never did it. I take a look. There's a sin. Oh, you don't have a shofar. Okay, what? Oh, so this is a question. When does he become? Okay, this is something we're going to have to discuss because there's a big shayla about it. Although we're not going to get to it today. There's an interesting... first of all, 2 points. In the Navi Shir, there was a story. The reason people remember is there was a nice story. A guy in Yerushalayim who was Mala. Fellow with Kedush Shalayim was Mal, and he didn't have his tefillah yet, and it came Shabbos, and there was a big fight. Should he first? He did malach, and then they told him wasn't allowed to do malach. Alright, we'll get to that. But what's nageya here? This machlokes is tali in a very basic yisayid. The yisayid is we're going to get to the concept of tefillah's ger kot, of gerus of a ger kot. Today it's common. Ramosha did not encourage it, but it's nevertheless common that people adopt non-Jewish babies. It's very hard to adopt a Jewish baby because in Jewish families, babies are not thrown out for adoption so quickly. Usually relatives adopt, but in the Goyish world, it's more common, I should say the Goyish world, the secular world, what I mean is. Yeah, okay. So people go and they adopt, they go out of state, they go to states where there aren't many, there isn't a significant Jewish population. The same is called the Parish Meruba Parish, and we'll get to this whole discussion. But by a ger katan, the halacha is that that you're tevel the ger katan, tevel the ger katan, al das imai, and the bris milah could be later, and the kiyamid, the kabbalas mitzvahs could be later, because the kabbalas mitzvahs is when he turns 13, we give him the choice of kabbalas mitzvahs. So the Ramban says that to say tefillah has to be last, because that's what we find by a ger. Normally a ger is milah, kabbalas mitzvahs, and tefillah. We see that by a ger katan, tefillah could be before kabbalas mitzvahs. That part is mukhruf. That could be before ger milah. It's done that way, but it's maybe no raya. But kabbalas mitzvahs not shayach till he's 13. So the Ramban brings a raya that the seder is not is never ma'akiv, because we see even kabbalas mitzvahs, which you would say is the most crucial to gerus, could come later than tefillah. So memela, that's his raya that the order is not ma'akiv. Now what that's totally in, so that we'll get to. Just a cute kasha that the David Mishorim asks on this halacha. We learned, what is it, 2 months ago, Hilchis Chatzitza. Right? By a woman who goes to the mikveh, the question was if she has to trim her nails. If nails have to be trimmed to go to the mikveh. It's said a machaber that it's mechuyah. It's an obligation to trim the nails. Why? There's a machlaikish shach and taz. The taz shita was, we're chayshish for dirt under the nails, there'll be a chatzitza, so we're machma, we cut it off. So according to taz, it's not be'etzem a chatzitza. The shach shita was that the reason you have to cut it off is because the shach cut it off, is his shita was, kolo aymed liktzais kekotzitzami. That since it's a minute to cut it off, to cut to trim the nails, so kolo aymed liktzais kekotzitzami. Anything that's aymed to be cut, it's a chatzitza already. It's aymed liktzais. So mele, it's a chatzitza in the tefillah. So the nail itself, a big nafkamina. According to the shach, if someone tivled and then they checked and they saw they're clean, it doesn't matter, I have to tivle again. According to the taz, if someone tivled and they checked and it's clean, it's good enough for the yevit. Frek the David Mesharim, so the Tribina Rav asks, how could you say that by a ger who comes to be megayer, tefillah and then mila is good? By someone who goes to be megayer, the arla is aymed liktzaitz. So the old kol aymed liktzaitz kekatzitz dami. So by zay the arla should be a chatzitza by a ger who's coming to be mild to be tivled. What? Interesting kasha. It's not an itis, you can change the order. By an itis, it's not an itis. Okay, so Kasha doesn't find her. But it's interesting Kasha, though. So there's an Avnei Nezer who answers this indirectly. He says, you only say a kaloimid liktzeit by something that's chutz l'guf. You find it only by hair and by a fingernail, which he considers to be chutz l'guf. You can argue. But by a part of the guf, he says there's no din of kaloimid liktzeit kakasim sami. If somebody, Chalila, for some reason, would plan to amputate something. So until he does, it wouldn't say kol aymed liktzaitz. It's part of the guf itself. There's no shayla. It's only the kashas is a nice kash.
Yeah.
Okay. So the question of whether he becomes a Jew after tefillah or after milah we'll have to come back to. Next week we'll learn what to do. If a guy comes to you this week, he wants to be a megayer, we'll have to wait a week and we'll see how to deal with it.
Go ahead.